I'm Iron Mile Mason, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting out here in Horse Stall 28 with the man, Rich Froning.
Hello, guys.
So we're out here at Mayhem for Mustard Seed. It's the third year you guys have been running this fundraiser, right? Tell me about the beginnings of it and how it got started.
Yeah, so I guess the first time I've heard of Mustard Seed. You know, it's a great, for those who don't know what Mustard Seed is, it's a privately funded, non-denominational Christian home for kids in Cookeville from all over, you know, but it's based in Cookeville. All privately funded, no state funded. But it's, you know, for kids that either have troubled backgrounds or their parents either can't keep up with them or whatever it is. They come here and they have house parents. And there's four houses, two boys' homes, two girls' homes. And, you know, they live, go to school, do everything, but they live here until their parents can either get back on their feet or the kids are ready to go back home.
Is it a national organization?
Nope. It's just a local local organization. So it's just something that's been started here. And I guess it was about 4 years ago. Thomas Lynn, he's a master's competitor at our gym, president of a bank in town, member at our gym. He's a great guy in the community. He was like, hey, I'd like for you to come to this dinner we do. It's a fundraising dinner. And they would go out. They'd have people come in, do like a little mini concert type thing and have all these vendors come in with food, and people would just donate money, and they were making $15,000-$20,000 when they would do that. And so Thomas, we were sitting there talking one day, and they're like, he saw the growth of CrossFit. He's been doing it since 2008 or 9.
Oh, wow.
And so he was like, you think we could ever do a competition? And I was like, we can try it. Let's see what happens. And so they were like, all right, we're going to keep the dinner, though, because we don't know how much the CrossFit competition is going to make. And, you know, we still want to make some money. So
right.
The first year, I think we made $94,000. So they were like, oh, okay, we kind of got it. So I think the last 2 years we've made $90,000. And I think this year the goal was $120,000, and I think we're real close to that. So it's a pretty cool thing we've done. And, you know, literally my name's on it. That's about it. You know, I help with the programming of the workouts and stuff like that, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that really put the show on. So
yeah, when we registered, I didn't get any emails from you.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Sorry.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, Blair, thanks so much. Looking forward to having you out here, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, busy time of year.
Yeah, I understand. It's all good.
So for Mustard Seed, is this becoming like their primary source of fundraising?
It's one of their main sources of, I'd say for sure their main, right now it's their main source of fundraising. You know, I'm sure there's private donors and stuff like that that people donate throughout the year, but as events go, yeah. And then it was earlier this month we did a CrossFit night with the Predators, Nashville Predators hockey team. And so they raised another $7,500 doing that. So it was pretty cool. You know, every ticket that they sold, that people bought through the CrossFit tag, they donated, I think the Preds donated $5 or $10 per ticket, and then Reebok threw in another $5. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, so really cool.
So you said that Mustard Seed Ranch is based in Cookeville. I could have sworn I heard about it like 15 years ago, but that's
no, there is other Mustard Seed Foundations.
Oh, there is. Oh,
okay.
And
okay.
It's kind of similar type ministries. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I think that it's kind of like that idea of a mustard seed. You know what I mean?
The faith of a mustard seed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's
gotcha.
A lot of
other Oh, gotcha.
Other
so the name is used.
Yeah, the Mustard Seed Foundation and whatnot.
So. So Mustard Seed Ranch, I guess, would be
the Mustard Seed Ranch, yeah.
So this is my first time Cookeville. Ben and I obviously came out here for this event. We were driving through, and we saw Cookeville High School. We saw Tennessee Tech, which I know is where you went to school.
Both of those, yep.
We saw your house, your dad's property, your new house.
Yep.
And now, like, this big event that you host every year, like the one you put your name on, is from Cookeville.
Right.
It really feels like you are a hometown boy.
Yeah, yeah. Like we like
devoted
it
to
yeah,
this space.
And we try to do a lot of our business local. Try to it's good for me. You know, I mean, if it helps the community, it helps us. You know, it's where I grew up. It's home. You know, I was born in Michigan, but Tennessee's home. Cookeville's. I mean, from the time I was 4 years old, this is these are the people I knew and everybody I grew up with. So. Yeah, we're anchored here for sure.
What was it like growing up here in a town like this? It's what, 40,000?
40,000. You know, it's so they say it's 40,000 people live in the city limits, but there's a lot of real close towns just outside, and everybody kind of works here.
Yeah, I'd say it feels bigger than
40,000. Yeah, so I'd say about 100,000, like, during the weekday when people are working and all that
right.
type of stuff. So it's, you know, it's not a super small town, but, like, I mean, I knew most everybody I graduated with. My mom has worked in restaurants for 22 or 23 years, so everybody knows my mom. You know, so it's like small town feel, but it's big enough. You know, it's enough. We enjoy it here. You know, it's not too big to where you kind of get lost, but it's good.
I was really impressed with just like driving in from Nashville, just the countryside.
Yeah, it's beautiful,
and the scenery.
Man.
It's
beautiful, and even if you go farther west, like towards Knoxville,
yeah.
You get a little bit more hills and a little bit more mountains and stuff like that. Smokies, Appalachian Mountains
right.
are a little bit farther east. It's beautiful countryside. I mean, we have 30 minutes north, we have a lake. 30 minutes south, we have another lake. You got mountains, a couple hours either way. So it's a good spot.
Did you grow up doing a lot of outdoor activity, hunting, fishing,
oh, yeah.
that kind of stuff?
Yeah, getting lost in the woods a lot. I mean, you guys were up at Dad's. It's not really it's not a mountain per se, but they call it a mountain here. But there's some bluffs and stuff like that. So I'd get out and do some climbing and, you know, getting into trouble a lot out in the woods. I think I've said it a couple times. I was like 3 or 4 game systems behind everybody else, so I was not any good at video games. And so outside, any chance I could get, if I could make myself busy, my parents wouldn't make me busy, so I was trying to find something to do, so I wasn't doing any chores.
Right.
You know, as a dad, I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure my kids have the newest video games, so the fact that, and I don't ever succeed in that, they're playing a Nintendo 64 still.
There
so,
you go. Yeah.
You know what? That's a good sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
I think my kids are in good company.
Yeah.
Dude, of all the videos I've seen of your kids, not one of them has been playing video games.
I know. They're always messing with the barbell.
They're always messing with the barbell.
Yeah. And that's the way you want it. You know, like, I'd go to parties in high school and everybody be playing video games, and I'm like, I'll just sit here and watch. I can't, you know. When you threw in, I was Sonic the Hedgehog, I'd play Sonic the Hedgehog. But when you had like 2 joysticks, I was like looking at the ceiling
right.
or doing whatever. I had no idea what
oh,
I was
yeah.
doing.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when the first-person shooter stuff came
yeah.
out with Bond and
yeah.
the Halo, I was done.
Done.
And you start clicking the top buttons?
Done, yeah.
Yeah.
Out. Out. Side-scroller, I'm good. But once you start like 3D stuff, I'm out.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
There's somebody behind you always
yeah,
with
yeah,
a grenade.
Always.
Just
always.
You guys. I'm yeah, hopefully my kids are more like you and less like me.
Right. Because you were good at that stuff.
I was good at that stuff. I'm still good at that stuff.
Yeah.
You're still good at that
yeah.
stuff.
I don't turn it on because I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, no, I can't sit still long enough to do it.
Right, and you're still doing a lot of stuff outside of, I mean, you could say that CrossFit for most of the people in our community is like the video game. They just are addicted to it, doing it all the time. And,
yep.
and bro, you train more than anybody.
I train
know,
a lot.
But I still see you out there like playing softball,
yeah,
playing lacrosse,
yeah. I mean, what's the point
of
being
stuff?
Fit if you're not going to use it? That's kind of the way I look at it. You know, I grew up playing sports. I started working out to get better at sports and then kind of found out that I could make a living doing CrossFit, which I do. But I still want to be better at sports, so I still try to play some sports. You know, we play roller hockey once a week, try to most of the time. We started a men's wood bat league last summer. We're going to do that again this year. We play flag football in the fall. I like to hunt. So,
bro, how fun is roller hockey, though?
Roller hockey's a blast.
Isn't it, like, the best?
Yeah, dude. If you guys need to come back for that, it's fun.
Roller
Monday
hockey's
nights.
So fun.
I'll be on the barbell team.
There you go.
We just fly out once a week to play roller hockey.
Oh, just get mopped up.
Yeah, Monday nights. It's fun, man.
We get bushwhacked.
You know, we have some dudes that are good, but then you have some dudes that have never played before in their life. And for the most part, everybody's pretty, you know, pretty cool about teaching people how to play and not being too much of a jerk. You have a couple that think they should be in the NHL, but
right.
it's fun. It's a good time. We have a good time.
What about your daughter, Lakeland? She's, what, 2 now?
She'll be 2 in July. She keeps me on my toes, that's for sure.
She's starting to do what Dad does?
Oh, yeah, she's into everything. Yeah, she's got a little wad toy. We just got one of those Oso barbells. So she's always a daddy's girl for sure, and it drives my wife crazy. Crazy. So
when did that happen? Like, I have a daughter who's 7 months old,
yeah.
and she's all about
all mom,
right?
Yeah, it'll switch probably right around a year. Once she finds out, hey, Dad's a little bit more fun, Mom kind of like, you know, Mom's mom.
Mom's here.
Mom's more of the disciplinarian.
Right.
And I'm kind of the, I'm fun, you know. It's still, you know, you got to discipline some, but still we have fun. We go out and do stuff.
Well, moms want to clean and they want to cook and do things that are kind of stationary, and kids
yeah.
want to move around.
Move. And
right.
So,
and so you just take them with
that's
you.
That's what I want to do, you know.
I know how it is for my girls.
Weddings and stuff, it's perfect for me because then I don't have to sit there. I get to go outside and walk around instead of
right.
sit in the wedding the whole time.
Yeah.
That's been the game changer. It helps me for my ADD. It's just like, all right, let's go move both of us.
This from Rich Froning. The best thing about having a kid is I get to take her to weddings
yeah.
and get out
get out of the way.
I don't have to sit down anymore.
Yeah,
like sitting
right.
down for this podcast right now. Where's Lakeland at?
Yeah, right here. Where are you at? Come on.
We saw you in the garage gym the other day with her, pushing her on the swing and everything.
Yep.
But you had a lot of people kind of going in and out. Is that kind of the way things are around here?
It just kind of depends. You know, we have Bridges was here 2 weeks ago for a couple days. You know, it just kind of really depends. This week was busy, I think, just because we had Mustard Seed. We had a lot of people coming in and out. Yeah, but we have some visitors come through. If you ask Hillary, our house is like a hotel, but right. We have some downtime.
And these are all guys reaching out to you wanting to come train for a bit?
Yeah, come hang out, come train. That's why I joke around with Hillary. I'm like, people actually like to hang out with me, unlike you. So, you know. So we have fun.
Like, wife, I swear I'm a cool guy.
I know, I swear.
Like, people like me.
Yeah. I don't know why you're always mad at me, but no, it's good. We do have a lot of people come through. But just jump in, hang out, work out. It's fun. Good time. Fraser's here now.
Is that like a regular day for you? I mean, is that kind of what it looks like? Just train, go grab some food at...
Yeah, for the most part. Usually we train in the morning. Usually get to the gym around 9:30, 10 o'clock. Train with the team. Then usually midday, people kind of go their separate ways. Then we try to usually meet back up either early afternoon or mid-afternoon. And then I got a group of guys, older guys, that kind of work out in the garage. Not competitors, just doing it for fun, that come hang out. They're fun to just hang out with and work out with, even though, you know, they're not competing, but you know, they do the open and stuff and they have fun. It's actually one of the team time cap over there.
Yeah,
they're good friends of ours, so they always work out in the garage in the afternoon and just good dudes. Like, one of them's my ex high school baseball coach.
Gotcha.
Assistant coach. Another guy I graduated with. One's a softball coach at the high school, so just have fun.
Yeah,
that's kind of the vibe I was getting. At least when we were there yesterday, it felt like a local pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people just kind of like swinging through,
hanging out,
like,
working out instead of drinking.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. But yeah. Not some people not even working out, just kind of like
hanging
stop
out.
In,
yep.
Say what's up.
Yep, people like to hang out and it's fun. You know, I like having people around. The
yeah.
more people around, for the most part, as long as you can get stuff done, I'm good with. But you know, once it gets too many, it gets a little
yeah.
stressful. Like this week, we had, I think, in the garage one day we had like 20 people and everybody wanted to work out. And so trying to make a workout for 20 people in a limited space with not limited equipment, but, you know, it's tough. But we made it work, and I think we got a pretty good workout in a couple times. So it was good. It's just tough. It's fun.
What type of, like, day-to-day stuff do you have to get done still, like, you know, when you're not working out? When
right,
you're not
owning the business, being a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that like?
You know, in the morning, usually Lakeland gets up a little bit earlier than when I go to the gym, so I usually hang out with her for an hour, hour and a half or so. Really depends. Some days she'll sleep. Some days she's up, so... I kind of let Hillary sleep in most of the time, an extra hour or 30 minutes, whatever. Go to the gym, do that, whatever. We work out.
Are you coaching any classes?
I'm not coaching any classes right now. I need to get back in there. We're actually going to have a new space that we're moving into, bigger space, and we'll have some offices and stuff. So I can actually – the problem is, and I, you know, it sucks that I'd like to be at the gym more, but I can't get anything done when I'm there, workout-wise. Like, there's always somebody dropping in. Everybody wants to talk, and I don't mind that, but it's just I need to get stuff done workout-wise and do whatever. It just makes it tough. So hopefully having the new gym, I can have, you know, we can have a little separate workout space. I can still, you know, do that type of stuff, be more involved in the day-to-day stuff. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. Yvette runs the gym mostly. Darren does a lot of the coaching and runs all the coaches.
Darren's your cousin.
Darren's my cousin.
Yeah.
And then... I've been a little bit more involved with, like, the apparel design and stuff like that lately, and then just trying to get everything kind of streamlined, I guess. So I'm trying to get more involved with that. So just kind of depends on the day with that, how I work that stuff in. Now trying to get the new gym set up. We've had some meetings on that type of stuff from, you know, vendors and just different things, the bank.
Like, big picture stuff like that, is that something you have more of a hand in, or is it... You know, like the gym moving and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm involved with that stuff a little bit more. When I was as an individual competitor, I literally had nothing to do with the gym. I just mentally, all my focus was on being a competitor, trying to win the CrossFit Games. Like, every day I woke up, that was my goal. And so now that I've kind of stepped back, I'm still training just as much, but I'm not all consumed by training, which has been a lot better for my overall life. I feel like, and I can actually do more things and am not so consumed with that one thing. So that was kind of the big push of why I stepped back as an individual.
Yeah, man, that's something that I think would be really cool to kind of like dig into a little bit, like the difference mentally between being an individual competitor and a team competitor, obviously, but then also for you specifically being like, you know, reigning champion and expectations. How does that change?
Yeah, so, you know, it's tough, man. for years, I mean, you have to be, to be the best in the world at anything, you've got to be, one, obsessed. You have to love what you do, but you have to be obsessed with what you do. Every day you wake up, every minute of the day you're thinking about what you got to do, what your plan is, what, you know, what the end goal was. And the end goal every day was to win the CrossFit Games. And you also have to be a little bit selfish, and so that takes a toll on relationships, on just everything. And, you know, everybody around me was extremely supportive, but I could see what it was doing to other people, and I, you know, I just wasn't, I didn't want to do that anymore. and then having Lakeland really was kind of the domino that kind of, you know, pushed it all over. Was I was sitting back and was like, I can't be a good father and be an individual athlete. And I don't want to go to the CrossFit Games and fight for 10th place. That's just not who I am. I want to go to the CrossFit Games to win the CrossFit Games. And so on a team, I still want to win. You know, don't get me wrong about that. I still am obsessed with winning. But it's not all on me, and it's a little bit different of, I'm still training just as much, but when I'm done training, I'm done training. I'm not thinking about, you know, what do I have to do tomorrow? You know, some of that stuff creeps into my head sometimes, but it's still like, I can go be a dad. Or like yesterday, where I probably could have got another workout in, I was like, I'm just going to hang out with my kid. You know, like push her around in the car. I hadn't seen her all day. I'd rather do that. That's the stuff that's going to last down the road. You know, I've done what I can do, not done all I can do in the CrossFit world. I want to keep, you know, competing and doing stuff, but, you know, she's more important than that now. And so,
is there like a level at which when you're in the midst of that, because like it was 4 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
4 years. I mean, is there some days you wake up and you just go, why the heck am I doing this right now?
Yeah, the last two were a fight. The
first 2 years?
Yeah, the first two were great. You know,
it's really almost 5 years if you count that first year.
Yeah, but
I mean, that was a surprise, right?
Yeah, it was a surprise. And, you know, that I wanted to win the CrossFit Games, but really my first goal going into the first CrossFit Games was not to get last. And then it kind of, towards the end of the weekend, I was like, all right, I can win this thing. And then, you know, there was
next year you expected to win.
Next year I was like, all right, I'm going to win this thing. And then the year after that, I was like, nobody's repeated. Let's repeat. And then after that, it was kind of like, all right, let's go for the three-peat. And then I was at the three-peat, finished the three-peat, and I was like, all right, I'm done. I've had enough. Like,
right.
I honestly was going to walk away after three. And I talked to Hillary, and we kind of decided.
That's when you guys were in the process of adopting.
We were kind of in the process of, like, having trouble, her getting pregnant, and just all the stuff going on. And I was like, all right, that was it. And so I hadn't really, like, formally announced or anything like that. And then I started, like, sneaking off and doing stuff at the track, and she called one day and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm running. She's like, why are you running? I was like, I need to get better at running. She's like, why do you need to get better at running? So I was like, because I'm terrible at it. She's like, you're not done, are you? And I was like, no, I need one more. I got to do one more. So that was my, I made up my mind that going into the 2014, I was like, all right, this is it. This is really it. And so I guess it just kind of gave me a little bit of closure that, hey, I know. Because, you know, 13, I decided kind of at the games that this was it. And so 14, I was like, I can put full steam into it. But it's just a mental grind, man. It's every day you have the target on your back. Everybody's looking, gunning for you. And, you know, we get into, well, I'm only doing what I can do. And come on, you're checking on what other people are doing. And you want to get better. And so it's tough. It's a lot of, I mean, every day, that's what it was. So
even though you're, you know, the team competitor now, you have your team. You're trying to win the games. Do you check up on other guys still and other girls? And
I mean,
you a fan? In
yeah,
cases?
You get yeah for sure a fan. You know, we with social media now, it's so easy. Everybody posts everything they do. I feel like everybody only posts the heavy stuff that they do, and then I feel like half the time people post the heavy stuff, and then they get in competition and can't get anywhere close to that. So I don't know what's going on there, but we'll save that for another day.
It's a different episode.
But it's just like. It's fun to watch, fun to see some of these guys and girls. You're just like, okay, it's legit. Right.
Did the your focus for 2014, when you said that was like the last year that you were going to be an individual competitor, when you made that decision, did it make it easier than to train because you knew it was your last year, or did it give you any additional fuel for the fire? Did it make it less of a grind? Or was it
didn't make it less of a grind, but it gave a little bit of motivation. You know, I was like, all right, this is it. Got to make it worth it. But it was still, it's still a grind. It's a long season. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it's just the CrossFit Games once a year, but it's all year. You know, you can't really, there's no off season anymore. There's, even in the off season, you have to continue to get better because everybody else is getting better.
Did you try to prioritize training even over sleep?
No. My sleep is always, before I had Lakeland, my sleep was always probably the most important thing. I've never been an early morning, like wake up at 6 a.m. unless I'm traveling or something like that where I need to get something in. I feel like my sleep was really what helped me recover more than anything most of the time. I'd try to get 9 to 10 hours plus if I could. That's been the biggest thing with Lakeland is I don't sleep nearly as much as I used to.
Yeah,
and I can definitely tell a huge difference in my recovery,
right?
Especially first thing in the morning. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I'm not that great at working out in the morning now. It's like I have to like either do some type of like just aerobic, intervals or something like that. Anything with some intensity, I feel like I can't get to that intense spot.
When you were so like you obviously you kind of like were at the front of the train of the high volume movement in CrossFit. Like you said, there's no off season, no rest days necessarily. Talk a little bit about the way your body would feel physically. Any like injuries you had that you would have to kind of nurse? Because that's a conversation we've had with, Kelly Starrett to Katie Hogan, some people that have been around for a while. And it's like, I'm interested to hear your perspective on that, being a guy that trained that much.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was almost like I felt the more work I put on myself, the better I felt. And I still feel better the more I move. If I have a full rest day or a light day or something like that, I don't feel as great, to be honest. It's kind of weird for me.
Like you start to stiffen up?
Yeah, just kind of get stiff just a lot of downtime and a lot of just sitting around for me is not – I don't feel as fresh or as good. But I feel like definitely the volume is going to start to take a toll on me and on everybody. I mean, there's only so much your body can take of a barbell crashing down on you every day,
Right.
Everybody talks about NFL and all this stuff being hard on your body. I feel like what we do is pretty hard on your body. We beat ourselves up day in and day out. And
yeah,
so,
absolutely.
There's a difference between CrossFit as a competitor and CrossFit as, being fitter for life. And what we do is much different and much harder, and it's going to be much harder on your body.
Can you imagine yourself transitioning to that?
I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know what to do.
Once a day.
Yeah, I'm like,
for an hour.
What am I going to do?
There's going to be a week where you don't train. And
I know.
At the end of that week, you're going to be like, NFL yeah. at 45.
I know, right? Like I can't walk. I can't do anything. Yeah, I don't. It's just, but I feel, I mentally too. For me, I have to do something every day. Like if I don't break a sweat or do something, I feel like garbage. And my wife doesn't understand that. She's like, why can't you just sit still for one day? And I'm like, so I'll go crazy. I might kill you. I don't know.
Like, I don't want to know what I'll
who
do.
Who knows?
So you're 7 days a week.
7 days a week, something. Maybe right. It's just, it doesn't have to be anything heavy every day, but I need to do something. I feel better.
So what is that? What is like a light day? Let's just say an average Rich Froning light day.
Like yesterday was a light day, right?
Yesterday was a light day. We swam, I think, like 2K. And then I ended up doing some front squats and some cleans last night in the garage. After everybody left, I was like, I've got to like mentally unwind a little bit and just, it's a stress relief, It's just like,
Just
sometimes you need to be by yourself. Like you can't always be working out with people.
How heavy, by the way?
Well, so we're kind of doing this program. It's a mix between small, we call it Squats by Dre. One of the kids at our gym, he started doing it.
Awesome.
And so it's basically Smoloff, but with cleans. So yesterday I did... I'll back up. If you do the 6x6 day Smoloff Junior or whatever, we take 90% of your clean is the weight that you use for your percentage work. And so the 6x6 day is 70%. So it's 70% of your 90%. And so you do the first set, you do one clean plus five front squats, and then we add a jerk at the end of it. The next set you do two squat cleans plus four front squats, and then you go 3-3, 4-2, 5-1, 6-0. And always add a jerk. And we do
always
it.
Add a jerk, yeah.
Yeah, and then we add, we do it on 2 minutes. So it adds a little bit of
intensity,
Metcon feel to it.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of fun just to do something different because we got, we've been doing CrossFit weightlifting for a long time. And I love what Coach B does. But for what we're doing, I feel like we need a little bit more reps and a little less of the weight, more, a little less, I guess, intensity on the weight, but
right.
Higher reps. And so we've been doing this for a couple weeks and just trying to see how it goes.
Oh, that's cool.
It's been kind of cool to just do something different. And so I did that. That's what I did yesterday. I think it was – I did 7x5 at 265, but it went – so I did one plus four. And then I did two sets of the two plus three, one set of the one or three plus two, and then two sets of the. So you just to get seven sets basically.
Right.
It's different. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Dre was like, "I'm gonna try this." I'm like, okay, we'll try it with you, buddy.
So. His name's Dre.
Dre.
I love that.
His name's Andre, but yeah, Dre.
Squats by Dre.
Squats by Dre.
Last week, Ben and I had a conversation about kind of like nature versus nurture when it comes to fitness and mm-hmm. like competition in CrossFit. And I was curious about your perspective on this. Basically, it's gone down to the point where everybody trains a lot and trains really hard.
Yep.
And there might be a little bit of difference in like what they do. But for the most part, it's a lot of fitness, right?
Yep.
Like, in your opinion, like when I look, when we watch you move extremely well, which is probably why you don't get hurt that much.
Right.
And some of that has to do just the way you're put together.
Right.
Right. How big a factor do you think that plays at the top of the game? When you look at the best athletes on the men and women's side, do you see people that are just genetically put together right? Or do you see something else?
I think it's a mix of both. I don't think you can say it's one over the other. I think it's a mix. You know, when I first started CrossFit, I moved like crap. 2000, I'm not like crap, but I just didn't move as efficient as I do now. And so really after 2010 was my first games. After 2010, I stepped back, pulled the weight off of everything, and I was like, all right, I'm going to start to learn to do stuff the right way. And, you know, I wouldn't say injury-free. You know, you always have that one gremlin that, like, moves around. Like, it's not like a – it doesn't, like, hurt that bad enough to, like, keep you from training, but it, like, moves around. Like, your knee would be bum. And then your knee will be fine, and it moves to your shoulder. You know, it's just because you're favoring something. But it's
right.
just – there's always that one gremlin in there. You can never be 100% healthy,
dude,
ever.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah, ever.
But that moves around.
That makes a lot of sense.
Totally. It makes sense, though, doesn't it? Like, if you think about it, there's always just one thing somewhere that's always – like, yeah.
Son of a, you just got my elbow.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And so, you know, so you always have that one thing. But, you know, I think that the more efficient you are, the better off you're going to be. I think, though, some of the workouts lately that we've seen that have – there's been a little less technique to it. It's just been high intensity, just get through it as fast as you can. So, I mean, I guess there's some benefit to just doing stuff crappy and going fast. That kind of sucks, but it's what happens. But I think definitely as far as the nurture part goes is like – I mean, I grew up that – you know, my parents, we were always – had chores all the time. Dad never babied me. Like we were talking last night, when we wrestled, my dad would literally beat the crap out of me. And, you know, we were wrestling, but
right, he wasn't going to let you
win. He wasn't going to let me win. And he was going to make sure that I knew that he was stronger than me. And so, you know, I think those type of things, and then, you know, just always being held accountable for what I was doing and all the time. I never had a curfew, but I knew that if I didn't come home or I didn't tell them what was going on, it was going to be, you know, you don't want to mess with their trust. And so I think that it just plays into everything. And everything kind of came together, I guess, in the perfect storm. So to answer your question, I guess it's a little bit of both, not one over the other. You definitely have to have some type of genetics. You know, you can't just say anybody can go to the CrossFit Games. But I've seen some people that are more genetically gifted than I am, more talented, faster, stronger, but don't have the mental, you know, weren't pushed as kids and weren't held accountable as children and or, you know, young adults, whatever. And I, you know, so I think it's a mix of both.
Right, okay.
I think as we came up to last week, too, I mean, you can't really answer that. We wish we could put our finger on it, but,
yeah, but
the reality
is
you can't.
Right. I mean, we were trying to look at other sports. We think, you know, a guy like Jerry Rice was not the fastest, most talented, but he became
best route runner. So
yeah, and I mean, he put him in more work than anybody else. And he just got better.
And you have those cases.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have those cases where the guy's the most gifted but just pisses it all away because he's an idiot or she's an idiot.
The case where the guy's the most gifted, like Jordan, and the hardest worker.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's just nobody can touch him.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, now I think about it. I won't name any names, but in our sport, like I look at the CrossFit Games, I look at some guys who are genetically very gifted, and they're not – maybe pushing a little bit.
Exactly.
They'll make the games,
but they're not winning. Exactly.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I think Maddox all day.
I was going to name names.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. I look at him like, dude, this guy is a freak.
Gifted. Yeah.
I think he was snatching 300 like 3 years
ago. 3 years ago. Four years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We did that little
power snatching
at Camacho's gym, remember? And he snatched 295.
Yeah.
Came down to a knee and then was like.
Just like, didn't really snatch it, just like. Yeah. Yep, snatch shoulder pressed it.
I think he muscle snatched 400.
Yeah.
Something like
but
that.
But, yes. No, I mean, that's a good example, I think. You know, yeah. But But you also have to think Neil's how much older than most of the crowd, too. So yeah, he could have been
maybe
knows,
10 years,
couple
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, if he puts his foot on the gas real hard right now, he might blow something out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah. So he's like 10 years older than Rich. And then probably.
Yeah, well, how old are you now?
I'll be 29 in July.
29. Okay. Dude, you got the same kind of thing I got going.
I know,
here.
Bro. Slowly in the back, bro.
That's right. Thinning up on top.
I told Hillary, I said, as soon as it's gone, I'm shaving it. So I was like, as soon as you can see skin,
you
I was like, tell me.
Same
now, Dad, I don't know if I can go that full.
Dad, right?
Like, I don't know if I can go full. Yeah, my grandpa had the same. Like, he had full head of hair,
yeah.
Except for right here.
Right.
And I'm just like, damn.
For our listeners, Blair and Rich are like bending over and showing each other their
bald spot in the
bald
back of our head.
They're growing.
I love on internet. People are like, oh yeah, he's going bald. He uses steroids. I'm like, no, I'm just going bald.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's gonna happen.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Bald by 40.
Yeah.
It's gonna be there.
Yeah. I feel better. I'm the oldest one here. Well, no, are you older than me?
I'm older than you by a couple months.
Oh.
I just turned 34.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't get a birthday present from Ben.
When's the last time you got me a birthday present, bro?
That's not going to be this year, I'll tell you that.
I got you onesies for your baby, and you didn't get me anything for my girls, you know? Like,
well, that was actually true. That was pretty cute,
yeah.
Except it was insulting onesie.
I got some onesies from
Iron Mile
Target.
Is greater than
I put
anywhere.
The Iron Mile and the greater than the anywhere logo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's good.
Yeah, so that was kind of like a gift to you.
Yeah. How's it turn into an interview about me?
I don't know. Let's get back on Rich. We don't get to sit down with Rich.
You're good.
Often.
No, I actually did want to talk about something we were talking about off air with your little girl.
Yep.
You know, and you guys decided to go the route of adoption,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of telling us that story. If you could maybe
go
back into that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's been, I guess, 3 or 4 years. We kind of had our plan, not God's plan, was to, you know, have 3 or 4 kids of our own and then adopt one and or two or whatever. But, you know, adopt after we had 2 or 3 biological children. I don't even want to say our own because Lakeland's our own. And, you know, that was our plan. And Hillary and I both had no problems, health issues, just couldn't get pregnant. It just wasn't happening. Went to specialists, all that type of stuff, multiple tests, and no reason why we couldn't get pregnant. And so Hillary was like, oh, we you need to adopt. And I was like, okay, I mean, if whatever you think, you know, whatever. And so she... We were at the house one night, and she's like, it was her cousin's mother-in-law's sister was a landlord to this girl that she knew was pregnant, right?
That's a hell of a chain.
Okay. Hell of a chain.
Yeah.
Knew was pregnant, and she knew she was giving it up for adoption.
Okay.
And so I was like, Hillary, easy. Like, that's what, like... Whatever.
Yeah,
she's like,
breaks
she's
here.
Like, I found her on Facebook, and I'm just gonna talk to
totally
her.
Totally trustworthy.
And I was like, Hillary, you look like a psycho. Don't do that. And she's like, I'm gonna do it. I said, okay. So she messaged this girl on Facebook, and she said, hey, I don't know your situation. This is kind of what we're, you know, what we're going through. Blah blah blah. And the girl messaged her back and was like, hey, this is crazy, but my the family that I had picked this morning backed out this morning. The family I had picked backed out this morning. And she's like, I got to kind of process this, and I'll get back to you. And so Hillary's freaking out, you know. And I'm
it's
like,
a sign.
I'm like,
right?
Okay, this is kind of, you know, one of those crazy, crazy things. And so she...
Are you guys talking face-to-face by text message right now?
Me and Hillary?
Yeah,
no, we're at the house.
Oh, you guys talking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she like went to the bathroom, and I found her in the bathroom floor like crying.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, gosh, what did you do?
Right.
Are the cops coming here to like, you're a stalker?
Yeah.
And so... She comes up, I guess it was the next day, and she's like, hey, she wants to meet me. And I was like, okay, go, you know, they went to out to lunch, and they went with one of the ladies that runs it's called the Cookeville Pregnancy Center here. It used to be called the Crisis Pregnancy Center. So it turns out this girl had three kids. She'd had one, actually 1 year older than Lakeland. All three of them were in Department of Children's Services custody. And, Lakeland was going to go to DCS as well. She's trying to get the other kids back, but she knew if she had Lakeland, once she had Lakeland, it was either Lakeland or the other three kids, so she wanted to try to get the other three kids back. Well, she originally went to have an abortion. She thought this place was called the Crisis Pregnancy Center. She thought it was an abortion clinic. So
wow.
She goes in there, and the ladies were like, well, let's show you, let's see if you're pregnant. And they knew she was pregnant. And so they showed her the ultrasound, showed her the heartbeat, and the girl's like, I can't do it. And so she ended up, you know, giving her life to Christ and became a Christian and decided to put the baby up for adoption instead of abortion. And so fast forward to where her and Hillary are talking, meeting, you know, all this stuff. This girl, the the birth father, biological father, was in jail, you know, Lakeland was pretty much going to go to DCS. And so she loved Hillary, wanted to meet me, so the next day I met her. And then that was middle of June of 2014, so right before the CrossFit Games.
Right before.
Literally right before the CrossFit Games. And so we had to get our home study done. Background checks, all that stuff. You know how it goes. And
I know exactly how that goes.
Literally, that's in awesome. 10 days, we had to have all that done by. So we got it all done. Lakeland was born June 7th. I was in the room. Me and Hillary were both in the room. I cut the cord. Hillary stayed at the hospital with the birth mom in another room. And so the birth mom just wanted some closure, so she would keep her during the day and give her to Hillary at night for one day. And then when she left the hospital, I hadn't seen her since. And so, you know, we've been blessed for sure. And you know, it's
that's a crazy fast turnaround, man.
Crazy fast. You know, it's like, hey, here you go. Mm-hmm. And so the first couple, luckily for the first couple weeks, Hillary and Lakeland stayed upstairs so I could sleep before the games. And then, you know, at the games, we separated in different hotel rooms. So, you know, it was good for the first year. And then it's just been a roller coaster since. It's been fun. She's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just reflecting my own experience, and it just I can hear a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
What was it like for you, like, bonding with Lakeland?
Yeah, man, I think it was just instant. You know, you think me being, at first, being a guy and just not knowing, you're like, you know, I don't know. I just don't know what the connection's going to be. And then first time you held her, you're like, okay, she's my kid. Like, there's no doubt that Lakeland's my child, and I can't imagine where she'd be right now without us, and I can't imagine where we'd be without her. You know, like, it's, you know, she was blessed, we were blessed. It's kind of reciprocating right there for sure. And, man, she's awesome, so it's cool.
Is she the first grandchild for your
No,
parents?
She's actually the second grandchild for my parents. We have a niece that's 4, and then we actually have another niece that's now, she's like 17 weeks younger than Lakeland.
This is, you have your siblings.
I have one sister.
One sister, yeah. So those are both from your sister.
Yep, both from my sister. And so we have, there's 32 of us first cousins on one side, my mom's side, and I think there's now 16 of the second generation off of those cousins. And so, I mean, but she's
growing fast.
And
I'm
growing
sure.
fast. And she fits right in, you know, so it's like my grandma loves her just as much as it's, so it's cool. It's been cool to see how everybody just, you know, you don't think of her as anything other than part of the family. So yeah. It's cool. And she's awesome. She's fun.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground. We went a little bit through you as an athlete, your team, your family, your gym. You do some stuff, obviously, like with like this foundation, Mustard Seed Ranch Foundation event. Is there any other stuff? I mean, obviously you have quite the platform,
mm-hmm.
like for either business or for charity or whatever. Is there any other stuff that you can fit into your life? Like, I know, like Kalipa, we talk to him frequently because he's near us. Dude's like all over the world.
You know, that dude's all into everything.
I mean, is that something that you're trying to do too, or are you more like?
I like it here, man. You know, I would like to grow as much as we can here. I don't know if I want to branch out in multiple gyms. Jason does a great job doing multiple gyms. I feel like if I did that, I wouldn't be able to. I have enough trouble devoting enough time to one gym, let alone multiple gyms. And so I don't want that to suffer. You know, we have a good community at Mayhem. They do a great job. Darren does a great job with the coaches, and all our coaches are awesome. And we have a great community there. So I don't want to. I don't. You know,
right, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Sports aside, you guys are both cool dudes, but you're just wired different. Like, we sit here with you, and you guys are just wired different.
Yeah, completely different.
Both awesome, but just wired different.
Yeah, Jason's a great friend of ours, great dude. But, yeah, he's everywhere, man. He's got so full of energy, full of everything. And, you know, that's what he loves to do.
Y'all both have ADD, but, like, it manifested differently.
Yeah, different ways. Like, I like to go play sports. He likes to do business stuff. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah, so, you know, we've done those. We bring people into this Train with Rich weekends, and we've had fun with those where it's not a seminar. Like, we just bring people in, and we train.
Out.
We train Friday night, barbecue Friday night, train all day Saturday, train all through midday Sunday. So we have fun. So that's more like what I like to do, is get in and work out with people and just, you know, show them what we do here and learn about what they do. So it's fun. We have a good time.
What do you try to leave people with in those Train with Rich?
There's no secret. It's just hard work, man. It's just we have fun and have fun. You know, that's one thing I think people get so caught up in. People that aren't competing for a living and are like doing competitions like this, I think they get too stressed, make working out too much of an added stress instead of a stress relief, what it should be. People get too worked up. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you should have some type of like push and motivation to get better, but not to where it's like affecting your well-being. I think people let, you know, your performance and just local stuff just get kind of, you know, lame.
All right, so we got about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes left. We're going to go to the hotline.
The hotlines? All right.
Listener Q&A. We posted you on Instagram a couple days ago, and we got some interesting.
He already knows. He follows all of us.
That's right. You follow one person.
Follow no one. Yeah, follow my wife. That's
you
it.
Follow your wife on Instagram. I think that was kind of a smart decision from the beginning. But, I mean, it's kind of like that's what The Rock does. Is that where you got it from?
No, I just was like, oh, actually, I used to follow a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And on Twitter and Instagram. And then I was like, man, this is soaking up too much. You can get lost. You get like 4 pages deep in people's stuff. You're like, okay, how did I get here? Right. So I just stopped following people. Right. And I still go on like the Discover stuff just to see what's going on.
Sure.
But, oh, yeah, I got a like from Rich Froning before.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
See? If I see something good.
That's right.
I'm not afraid to like
I probably made the Explorer page. You probably didn't search me out.
it just like accidentally showed up.
No.
Screenshotted it. All right. So this is from Paul Gons, 1323. Don't know who that is.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for reaching out. If there was one person in this world, dead or alive, they would not be in this world if they were dead. But anyway, dead or alive, that you would work out with for a day, who would that be and why?
Oh, man.
You bring one person to the train with Rich.
Besides Jesus, because that's got to be the first answer.
We'll be able to work out with him for eternity.
Yeah,
bro.
That's right. Yeah, so we're
so
good.
You don't have to say Jesus.
Barry Sanders, my childhood hero, man.
That is awesome. Such a clutch answer.
Barry
right there.
Sanders was like my hero.
I know, right?
His quads were the size of my torso.
Yeah.
So yeah, Barry Sanders was the man. Like I said, my childhood
genetically
hero.
More gifted than most.
I bought a Lions starter jacket and became a Lions fan.
There you go. Because of Barry
Just
Sanders.
Just because of Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders was the man.
Yeah. And he's such a good dude. Have you
such
seen
a good dude? Yeah. Great
some
dude.
Of the stuff with him and his son. At yep. Like
just a good dude. Good human being. Humble. Good dude. That's so kind of what, you know, like. Yeah. Never spiked the ball, never celebrated. That's was kind of good dude.
All right, K7ML.
You spiked the ball, though.
Do what?
You spiked the ball, though.
I've spiked the barbell,
you spiked the
barbell. Unfortunately, yeah. Get fired up sometimes.
K7ML asked a question about competing in the CrossFit Games individual versus a team. We kind of answered that, right?
Yeah.
Nice, simple one from CJ Ramon. Smooth or chunky peanut almond butter?
Peanut butter for sure. It just depends on the mood, if it's chunky or creamy. Got to have a touch of honey, though. I like the touch of honey peanut butter.
There we go.
That kind of opens up a little bit of a nutrition angle. Used to say you ate Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that was it.
I've never said that.
I'm guessing that's changed. Although we did go to Cracker Barrel yesterday.
There's nothing wrong with that place.
There's nothing wrong with Cracker. I had double meat breakfast, eggs, some bacon, some sausage. I did have pancakes, but I did swim 2,000 meters, so... I'm going to count the – I needed those carbs there.
Yeah. Dude, the amount of carbs we've had in 2 days being here.
I haven't
like
done anything.
Donuts.
That's why
and pancakes.
Out over there.
Donuts, nice.
3 donuts last night.
It just feels like
Rouse
there's like
good
this
though, right?
Expectation around here. Everybody's like, hey, did you have that donut? Go to that donut shop yet?
Yeah, I got like 4 donuts. We could barely eat them all, and I ate 3 of them. But anyway, right. And they're like, yeah, it's $3.50. I was like, what?
What?
I can live here. Yeah, I can live here. $3.50.
It sucks that it's right next to the gym. That's the hard part.
Right.
No, I mean, I do have a company that sends me meals, Fit Fuel Prep, but it's like, you know, I try to eat healthy when I can, but sometimes, you know, when Hillary makes food, it's like I need to eat whatever she's cooking.
Right.
And
she likes to cook good stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, you can't always be healthy all the time, so. Yeah, I try to. I don't eat a lot throughout the day is my thing. It's kind of like a protein shake or snack or whatever, and then I eat more at night. Now, I wouldn't say necessarily carb backloading, but something similar.
That's kind of what it turns out to be.
Turns out.
But you don't, like, space your meals out. You're not regimented with it.
If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm not hungry, I don't eat, basically. Forrest Gump. That's why. Forrest Gump diet.
All right. There we go.
There it is.
Ever played ice hockey?
I've never played ice hockey. I do want to play ice hockey. Played a lot of roller hockey now. I've been on ice once or twice. But
yeah, can you skate?
I can skate. I can rollerblade, yep.
So,
yeah, rollerblade.
I'm a good athlete. I wouldn't say I'm a great athlete, but I can play a lot of sports well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can golf well. I can play volleyball. Dude, ice skating is tough.
Tough.
Ice skating, skateboarding, like not my jam.
Not your jam.
Not my
jam.
Really,
skateboarding. I'm terrible.
I've never really skateboarded.
Snowboard, but like
Rollerblading, you know, I rollerbladed as a kid and, you know, went to the skating rink every once in a while, you know, in high school or
middle school.
It wasn't high school. And so, like, I had enough. And then now that we've played a lot of hockey, you know, I can
get better
do the stop stuff and, you know, change directions quick and working on the backwards skating and stuff like that. So, getting there.
I like it. So, I'm going to sift through some of these because some of them, I just can't go there. But somebody wants to know, a good question, I think, is Rich back to compete as an individual for the game's 10-year anniversary? That would be next year, right? Would that be next year? Or is that this year?
Was it next year? No, I'm not back.
It might be this year.
Okay, so then he's not back.
I don't know, but...
So are you ever going to come back to compete as... You know, say never.
I highly doubt I'll be back. Maybe when I get to a Masters, maybe. I highly doubt it.
Shaved head,
bald. Yeah. I'm enjoying being on a team and you know, being able to share that and suffer with them, and I enjoy it. It's a lot more fun right now for me.
Your team roster kind of has changed a little bit. A
little bit, yeah. We added Lindy and Lauren. Lauren, I wouldn't say stepped down, but she's not on the team
right
anymore.
Right, Lindy, obviously established individual competitor. She moved here to be on your team.
Yep.
James Hobart did the same thing.
Yep.
What, a year ago or year and a half ago?
Yeah, 2 years, year and a half, whatever.
Is that people reaching out to you?
Yeah, James, you know, James trained here a lot anyway, so it was kind of a simple move. And then with Lindy, it all kind of was a perfect storm type thing. Kristen Reffitt, who's on our team, she went down to this charity competition, Heroes for Horton, and was talking to Lindy, and Lindy was kind of talking about wanting to step away from individual, maybe be on a team. And Kristen was like, well, we need somebody on the team.
Oh, hey, why don't you come out
and
here?
And so Kristen came back, and she's like, hey, we need to talk to Lindy Barber. So I just sent her a Twitter message because I didn't have her phone number or anything, and I was like, I hear you might be interested in being on our team. And so she came down for 2 days, fit right in, gelled well with the girls, great with us, and so...
Right, and she's only one state up, right? She was from Kentucky?
Yeah, she's like 3 hours away, so she comes and lives with Yvette for 4 days out of the week and then goes home for 3 days.
Gotcha.
CrossFit Spartans wants to know if you are thinking ever about competing in a powerlifting meet.
I don't know about powerlifting meet. I've thought about doing maybe some like weightlifting stuff, like Oli stuff, but I don't know. I'm not as good when there's gaps in time. If it was like, hey, a ladder of stuff, I could probably lift heavier than if it was just three lifts. I'm better at that type of stuff. So I don't know if I'll ever do an Olympic lifting meet. So we'll see.
Ask him the wrestling question.
Man, you and CrossFit Deej, man, always trying to start problems. So
just trying to start beef, that's all.
I can't even look at Rich when I read this question because I think I already know the answer.
Yeah.
Who would win in a wrestling match between you and Iron Mile Ben? Keep in mind the winner would be the WWE champ.
I know, we talked about this the other day. Do you have a wrestling background?
I have an MMA background.
Then you definitely would win. I have no chance.
My political answer is it just depends on why we're wrestling.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, whoever has the biggest motivation.
Yeah, that's
point.
True.
You know?
That's true. I mean,
right? I remember. Fight.
If this is like an action movie, 90s action movie, and I was taking his daughter and he's got to come wrestle
me, then it'd be different. That's different.
I'm probably not going to win. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And if the roles are reversed.
Yeah, I remember, like, all my cousins were wrestlers growing up, and they're like 20 to 30 pounds lighter than me.
Yeah.
Just whip my butt all the time. And I'm just like, I can't. I don't
the
even
hard
know
part is with a wrestler or with anybody who's done fighting before is we've just spent so much time with hands on each other, with punches coming at you.
So you
like,
know what
you
to
don't,
do.
You don't freak out as much. It's
right.
like you competing, right?
Right?
Like, you don't, like.
It's calm.
It's what
whatever.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, and when you try to wrestle
lose.
A wrestler, you get really tired.
Really tired.
You get so tired. And all of a sudden, all
you don't feel like you're in good
nothing.
Shape.
Nothing.
You're out of shape.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even matter how good a shape you're in. Even if you're a fighter, if you haven't wrestled for like, you've been out of the game for just a little
you're
bit.
You're out of wrestling shape.
Yeah. 20 sports or 30 seconds.
A little sport-specific training there.
Yeah, the air's thinner when you're wrestling.
Yeah.
There's a dude at my gym now.
I don't like get hit in the face either, so that would be, you know, I can
well,
get hit anywhere
now
else.
I know your weaknesses, man.
In the face.
This is good.
There's a guy at my gym named Ryan. He's a wrestler at Kent State, and he was telling me a story about a guy who was a national champ at Kent State. And was like now training with the Olympic team. He's younger than I am, and he's like, dude, this guy did not have great technique, but he tired people out
so good
fast. Like, and they just by the second round, he would get out there, and all of a sudden, he would just do the same move.
Yep.
Every and he just pinned everybody because they just couldn't keep up with him.
It's like my cousin Preston over there. He's on one of the teams out here. Not an athlete. Like of all my cousins,
right.
like most of us are like pretty decent athletes. Not the greatest of athletes, but we were all you know starters on whatever team we played on, whatever.
Yeah.
Preston was like third string football, but a fifth in state in wrestling. Like, just knew the
no
technique
way.
Was like studied the craft and like a great wrestler. And in Michigan, not like
Which
you know
a great
out
wrestling
of nowhere.
State,
yeah, like he's a good wrestler. So,
That's cool.
Yeah, and so he's out here, you know, barely snatching 155, but he can wrestle. So,
and if you had to wrestle him,
he'd probably beat me. I don't know if I could let him beat me. Like, the motivation factor would be there. Little cousin.
It'd be like, how big is the ring? How long can you draw it out? Yeah.
Well, Uriah told us that story. Uriah Faber told us a story about when he was in college and he was on, like, the football field.
Some
300-pound guy was like, I'm 300 pounds. I would crush you, you know? And Uriah's like, just because I'm 150 pounds doesn't mean you'd crush me. And then one day, he said, just put him to sleep.
On the tennis court.
They just run him around a little bit.
Yeah, I've had enough. Let's do it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm over it. You know what I mean? That's kind of Uriah's personality.
That's funny.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's like, what makes you think I'm going to let you grab me?
That's a good name.
Like, he's like, what's you make you think I'm going to let you grab me and choke me out? Yeah. It's like, I don't want you to do that.
Well, Uriah has an H on the end with Uriah Faber, which is funny.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my wife just texted me. How's it going? Not well.
Good.
Not well at all.
Yeah.
Having to defend myself against Rich.
Right.
This question's from VM Alderman. No, it's my little brother. What's he say? Rich, if you had a younger brother, would you have brought him along to meet you?
Oh.
Never mind. That's some private stuff, I guess.
That's what I wanted you to bring him out here.
My little brother getting mad
at
me here.
Nice.
What's the best movie you've seen recently? Jerome.
Best movie I've seen recently.
Batman vs. Superman.
Like, new movie. I did not like Batman vs. Superman.
We talked about that, right?
I was so disappointed.
So I went and saw it after you gave me the big thumbs down.
You liked it?
Dude, I was three quarters of the way in being like, what is Rich talking about? This movie is sick. And then that fight scene happened
It's just too much CGI, bro.
It was just horrible.
I was good until then.
Yeah, it was good until
then. It was like,
then.
I like the storyline, I like the build-up, but then all the CGI, you're like...
All of a sudden, like, they just brought this whole new plot in out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Luther just grew this guy in half an hour, and now he's just ripping up the city.
Yeah.
Like,
I hate when those movies, too, when they just destroy everything. You're like, who's going to clean this up?
Right.
Who's going to clean this up?
Who's going to clean this up?
I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it bothers me so much.
So I'm on board. If it wasn't for that, I was into it.
I liked all the Batman trilogies with Christian Bale because it was, like, believable. Like, everything could-ish happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not fake. Good movie I've watched recently, Days of Thunder. I've watched Days of Thunder recently.
Amazing.
How can you not?
You did that
like
while you were rowing
Thunder?
Or something, right?
Yeah, we watched that. I am looking forward to Civil War. Captain America Civil War.
Yeah. Oh, I had one question. I don't know who wrote it, but somebody did ask if you're an Iron Man or a Captain America.
Captain
guy.
America, man.
Yeah.
It's America.
Yeah.
America. I mean, you do like Iron Man. Like, I think the Iron Man movies, 1 and 2, were great. I wasn't a big fan of the third one because it should have been just called Tony Stark and not Iron Man.
Tony Stark Part 1.
Yeah. And then the first Captain America wasn't that great, but the second Captain America movie, Winter Soldier, was awesome. But I'm a Captain America fan.
See, I tapped
fan,
out
because
after
it's America.
The first one.
See, I felt like
so
in
I
the first one, he was like, they made him like he was just too nice.
Yeah,
too
soft.
Good, you know?
Too soft.
And now the second one.
Dude, Winter Soldier, you got to see
it's
Winter
good?
Soldier. I think it's one of the best Marvel movies they've made.
Yeah.
Iron Man 1, 2, and Winter Soldier.
I love the twist of who the guy was and all that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's good. Yeah, you got to watch that one.
All right, dude, last question.
Last
if you got
question.
One more, otherwise
okay.
We got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up. We got something to do, fitness stuff to do.
Yeah, we got to go do 50 Toasted Bar and 50 Wall
Matthew
Balls.
Raymond just was thankful that you're a good Christian role model.
Thanks, man.
And, he does a question here. He wants to know when you start incorporating knee sleeves.
When I start incorporating knee sleeves, when my knees start to bug me. You know,
the gremlin hung out in
the gremlin region. Hangs out in that left knee or right knee. My right knee, for some reason, like if I sit in flexion for too long, it just feels like it's going to explode at any moment. So if I can straighten it, it's good to go. But if it sits in flexion too long. But just depends on the day. Sometimes I'll use knee sleeves. I'd say I'm about 60-40 using knee sleeves right now. Just kind of depends. If it's going to go heavier now, I start to put them on just to be a little bit safer getting older. I try not to use a belt a lot just because I feel like if I can strengthen my core, the better off I'm going to be. In competition, sometimes I'll throw on a belt just to, you know, sometimes you go a little over what you're used to in competition. So I do wear a belt then. But for the most part, I try to use the least amount of protective equipment as I can.
I guess the last question is for my boys. They always ask me, hey, do you think Rich remembers who I am? So my little boys ask me that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, when was the last time I saw them? It's been a little while.
They're at Wadapalooza with us.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're at Wadapalooza. Yeah. And then the first time my son met you, he actually had you come up and sign his Faith RX Bible at 14.5.
14.5.
Which was also 16.5.
Which was also 16.5, which was very frustrating.
Big bummer.
We don't even want to go. We don't even go there right now because this podcast will get longer.
Yeah,
that's right. That's another episode, too.
Yeah,
another episode.
We'll hey, man, thanks a lot for having us out and sitting down in Horsestall 27.
Horsestall 28. Was
28.
It? Was it 28?
I don't know.
You said 28.
We'll take it. 28. It's 28. Yeah, dude, this is going to be fun. We're going to be wreck the rest of the day, but
yeah, this next one's gonna hurt a little bit. But the tire jump, I was a little disappointed in the tire. So it's supposed to be a 24-inch box. So I think everybody's leaving us.
All right, guys, remember right. Follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast
Do
on
it.
YouTube and iTunes. All right, more from here later.